You ever feel like the undertow is just taking you deeper and deeper into the oceans of life? I'm your host, Danielle Zapchank, and thanks for listening to the Parable Podcast. Joining me today is the Central Illinois Baton Pass leader, Whitney Mallory, who shares about the binding, the sparing, and the blessings of the seasons of our life.
We wanted to be known, and we wanted a place where we could share parts of our story that were less than glamorous and like walk through some of this hard with people that we weren't going to have to leave, or people that would let us into their life so that we could encourage them with some of the ways the Lord had encouraged us. So we prayed for community. The reason I can say that the Lord has blessed us on the other side of the binding and the sparing is because of the community in our neighborhood.
Here's my conversation with Whitney Mallory. If you have been around the Parable Podcast for a bit, you know that stories matter to me. And so it is always such an honor to connect with other organizations like the Baton Pass, where we get to share stories. The Baton Pass, we've probably heard so many different episodes where we talked about so many things, so many stories that just really bring hope and restoration and radical healing. And so I am so excited to do a couple collaboration episodes with the Baton Pass. And our first guest today is one of my favorite hype girls, Whitney Mallory. Whitney, thank you so much for being on the Parable Podcast with us today.
Danielle, I am ridiculously excited to be here alongside you. I have loved the chance to get to hear you through my earbuds when I've been working out in the mornings, and now to have a chance to actually see your face and talk on here. It's truly a delight. So much so that I actually wrote you a little poem just to express some of my excitement that I would love to share with you now.
Absolutely. I can't wait.
It's coming your way. Okay. She's the one and only Danielle Zapchank. She tripped over her dishwasher doing dishes at the sink. She turned it into a story that gave God the glory and invites us to do the same, even with intro poems kind of corny. She felt a pull to start a podcast, so she took a risk. Now it's truly something that you don't want to miss. Her questions are like arrows hitting the bullseye. She and her guests make you laugh, make you cry. As listeners, we're also blessed that she gave this a try. She's a wife, she's a mom, she's a leader at her church. She's connected with Spit Women Speakers Collective to help new voices emerge. And of course, she's killing it with this podcast too. Really seems like there's nothing DZ can't do. I'm just so excited for this conversation to start. Let's talk about some truths straight from the heart. That's for you, Danielle.
Lin-Manuel, watch out. Okay. Oh my gosh. That is the best. I'm going to keep that like put somewhere so I can see it every day. I appreciate that. Thank you for like the dishwasher comment. Oh my gosh. I'll put a link in the show notes if you're like, what is she talking about? I'm like, yeah, I will tell you. Let me tell you how I broke a dishwasher.
Episode 100, I believe.
Oh my gosh. Oh gosh. Whitney, I think this also just, yes, this is about me, but it encapsulates your personality because I think the first time I saw you was on a Zoom call, but then I was able to see you in person. You're just such an encourager and you uplift people, and I'm like, I need to know this girl more. So the fact that when Kelly's like, oh, Whitney is going to start a new chapter of the Baton Pass, I'm like, let's go. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. So Whitney, I'd love to know, like, what's your favorite ice cream flavor? Just getting to know you, these deep questions right away.
Okay. It's really, the ice cream flavor is going to be vanilla and it's going to be a little caramel on it. But really, it's because it's paired with a brownie. I could just tell you ice cream, but really what my heart desires is a brownie, a fudgy brownie. So I'll take the ice cream as long as it has the brownie.
Who is one of your favorite people?
I think my mom. Yeah, she's stepped up today and she took my two toddlers so that I could have some space today. And she's just always laughing. And I think there's something about feeling connected and safe and just hearing laughter. Laughter, it shows the evidence of joy. And My mom is known for her laugh. People, like, if she's in a restaurant or she's like in a mall, people are like, oh, I heard you laughing, Debbie. Yeah. So I love the way that she has loved me. She has not held back when she has loved me.
I heard this next question on a podcast that I was like, ooh, like this one is, it's really meaningful. Who is somebody that you miss right now?
I have a wonderful connection and relationship with my Bible study. Actually, you know her. She was on here, Kelly Carlson.
Yeah.
And I'm connected with her. We text nearly every day, but I miss being able to just do life with her. I miss being able to go to Panera and she would bring her tea bag and we would eat red M&Ms because she'd always bring them to me, or she'd bring me a journal and she'd help me sort my mail or stamp my mail and take it. I just miss her presence. Being connected with texting or with even phone calls is wonderful, but I miss her hugs.
It is, I think, the ministry of presence, of just having people with you. Like, it is one thing where you can be in constant communication, but for me as well, it's just being with them makes all the difference. All right. So Whitney, tell us a little bit more about like who you are, where you live, what you're passionate about.
Who I am? I'm a wife to Tyler Mallory, and he is my very best friend. I'm mom to Tanner and Willa and Wilder, the three absolute joys of my life. And I live in Central Illinois. Part of my story that I'll share a bit about, but I've moved 12 times in the last 15 years. So I am a Central Illinois girl at heart, but I've been down by St. Louis and up in Chicagoland, and now kind of hopefully planting some roots here in a town called Mahomet. And what makes me most excited, and kind of what I've done even in each of those places I've lived, is connecting with people. I've been a teacher and I've been a school counselor by trade. And every year, just connecting with my students and seeing them and getting to know what's in their lives and in their lunchboxes and in their hearts. And then now that I'm not professionally working, but my neighbors or people at work at the library or people at church, I just love, I love people, and I love hearing a glimpse of what might be going on in their hearts and in their lives. I just think God was, he was so kind to give us so many incredible, wonderful people. Every person, you know, I sit in my car sometimes and I'm just like, every person in every car is going somewhere for their story. And it's just fascinating to me. So the more that I get to just hear from people and encourage them, honestly, that is what makes me come alive.
I mean, I think that's evident. When you said you were a teacher and a counselor, I'm like, I see it. You know, like that's just, well, I love it when you can see somebody, whatever their field is, and like that connects with the passion of who they are. So Central Illinois is about to launch a new Baton Pass chapter.
Yes.
The event, the title that is coming, it's called Audacious Hope. Yes. And I think before we jump into your parable story, I think just kind of framing us up of like what that means to you would really benefit your story. So Whitney, why don't you share what Audacious Hope means to you?
When I was talking to Kelly Olson, and she was saying, we're thinking about something with hope, and it might kind of have an element of kind of like dangerous hope. I was like, ooh, yeah. Hope can feel so dangerous because you're going to put your heart out there and show it what could possibly be, and your heart's going to latch on, and yet it might not be able to actually obtain that. That can feel dangerous. That's a risk. But as I thought about it and prayed about it, I felt like Audacious captured actually kind of my heart and my story and my vision for what we would like to bring to the women in Central Illinois. And Audacious, some people might have an idea where it's like recklessly brave and incredibly bold, like audacious, like you really bring it. And to me, Audacious Hope more has this concept of holding on when it is perfectly understandable to let go. When it seems impossible, you're still believing and trusting that it actually could be possible. So the power of the hope is not because you have all the confidence or you have all the assurance, although the Lord says, you know, we can have faith in what we don't see. But I think it's more so of like, I am feeling tired. I am feeling weary. I am exhausted. I am feeling fearful. And yet there is a deep conviction that something could be beyond this. I think that's audacious to, in the unbearable, believe and hold out for the impossible. Mm-hmm. So I think the feeling of this audacious hope isn't necessarily one of power, but the sheer presence of the hope indicates the depth and the conviction with which I'm going to face this trial. Women are going to be coming in all different stages, and you know, they're in a trial, they're past the trial, their friend is going through a trial. And the last thing I want to do is have any sort of toxic positivity, any sort of like, yes, this is hard now, but just you wait. I would be doing a disservice to the women around us if I didn't say, let's stay here in the unbearable, in the pain, in the heartache, and also have an anchor to the not yet. You know, we don't have to jump there, but we have an anchor that we're going to cling to. And that is us being audacious. That is us having the audacity to say, we serve a king and a God who has been here before, and he will do it again to bring life from death.
Gosh, I can't tell you how many times I have been to an event or listened to a message. And I would say that my gifting is like true joy. Like that is where I reside in. However, sometimes I've been to certain things where I'm just like, where's like the truth, the reality of life here? Because there are many of us that I think, I love that you said toxic positivity, where if we just will it, it's going to happen, or just, we just have to be positive. We just have to pray about it. And that can be very dangerous because we're striving for positivity rather than like the presence of Jesus in our pain. And so it's hard to live like that because you want to be positive, but like also just really holding both sides lightly. Like there's going to be tension, and then there's other women around us that we want to support and lift up and walk through those tough trials. And the reality is like there's so many of us, or so many women, so many men around us, so many students that are just walking through that daily. What a beautiful testament of what audacious hope looks like. Thank you for framing that for us.
Well, so, I think you said, Danielle, you said the and. That's right. That's the both and. To be able to be in the sorrow or in the fear and not jump to positivity and not jump to bright side, but to be in it, the reality of it, just like you said, the reality of the both and of the sorrow and of the joy that is to come.
Yeah,
we're not there yet. But it is a powerful place to be with the Lord when you can say, here we are. And yes, he calls us to rejoice in all circumstances. But I think that can look like this sense of, I am clinging to you. Mm-hmm. You are the reason I rejoice. Not even because I know this trial is going to end in a certain time. The both and of sorrow and I will cling. That can bring about that joy, just knowing that he's there.
So Whitney, how, if you can kind of like frame that up into your parable story, how does that connect for you?
I think because, Danielle, I kind of started going the other way where joy was not my mantra. I had hope, but it was a like nearly decade long season of another thing. Okay, we can do this. We can do this. But like, holy moly, here's another thing. And I was thinking about what my hope looked like walking through that. I know I'm a person of faith. I did not, the Lord held me in his hope and faith when I felt like I couldn't do it on my own. But I think the audacious part is because I was like, wait a second. Yes, these hard things have happened. And also I can stand in the truth that he did it. And I'm going to start looking for that. I'm not going to continue to tell the story of the hard trials. So it kind of came to a head when I was reading about Isaac in Genesis. And I've thought this before, but may have never really put words to it. But I was like, Isaac waking up before it's dark, going with his dad, walking up the mountain, you know, in Genesis 22. And you know, he's aware because he's like, hey, where is the sacrifice? Abraham's like, God will provide the sacrifice. But what is going on in his heart right then, right? This like sense of, I trust you, Dad. And also, I'm scared. So once he gets up there and he's on the altar and he's bound and he sees his dad taking his knife toward him. Yes, there's the ram. Yes, Abraham and Isaac get to continue their life together as father and son. But like, there is that middle section where Abraham unties his son. What is Isaac thinking at that moment? Like, I'm going to now get up off of this altar and I'm going to now walk down the mountain. Like, Dad, what was that about? You put me on here. You tied me up. Yes, you got me off of there, but like, I was on the altar. And I think that at times I have felt like that with the Lord. It's like, yeah, I recognize I didn't get burned, but the being bound part was pretty traumatic. And I've kind of wrestled and worked my way through that to see that our God is a good and gracious Father, even with the binding, because that actually is called the binding of Isaac. And when I was praying through that story one day, I felt like the Lord said, yes, my daughter, you have been bound, but you have also been spared and you've been blessed. Isaac was bound, but he was spared. And then he was blessed. He was able to like marry the woman that he loves. And he's the father of Jacob. And it goes on so many grandkids and generations to come all the way to Jesus. Like, he was immensely blessed. And I felt like the Lord was kind of drawing my attention to the hope that can happen because of the sparing and the blessing, not discounting the being bound. And so some of my story kind of has followed that similar pattern in the last few years. And so it's a message really dear to my heart that I'd love to be able to share with women for us to see, yes, we have had times where we have been bound. And if we look with the right eyes and with the right heart at the right time in the way that the Holy Spirit would invite us to, we will see the sparing and we will see the blessing.
Before you continue, Whitney, I just think when you shared that, and it was in a voice message so I could hear you the other day, I was just like, what is happening? Because I never thought about that portion. I mean, it was like, it's just a crazy story in general. And I love to see different representations in the Bible where there is a sacrifice, a father sacrificing the son, even Moses's mom sacrificing her son into the Nile. And so you're connecting the dots. You're like, oh, God was already giving us the picture of sacrifice. But you're right. I never thought about like after he takes the binding off, like just be like, did they just like frolic down the mountain together? Like, it was odd. Like, it had to be weird. And so, gosh, it just gives us such comfort to know that while that maybe wasn't necessarily within the story, it just gives a humanness to it of like, oh yeah, like even we've been bound, God has provided. There's still some stuff that we have to work through or wonder or question. So beyond that, what have you seen like that bound and then releasing for you in your own story?
I was thinking about that, Danielle, you know, praying through what to kind of share today. I think if I limit to the last like 4 years and specifically the ways that the Lord has brought me through the trials related to where I live and the kids that we've had, just kind of that journey. So if you'd go with me to Christmas Eve of 2019, I'm in church and I'm worshiping and I'm super excited because I'm pregnant, recently remarried, and never knew if I'd be able to have another child because my son at the time was already like 8 years old. And then the cramping started. And so much so that I could not continue to stand in worship. And, you know, we went to the ER, and while we were there, you know, we heard the words, your pregnancy is no longer viable, and we're going to continue to monitor and make sure you're okay. But the reality of the situation, when I felt bound in this extreme loss, that on Christmas Eve, when we're celebrating Jesus coming to earth And actually, my very best friend actually gave birth to her son that day. It was the day that I also had to find out that was not going to be part of my story.
Yeah.
And I was not able to travel and see family like we wanted to that Christmas. We actually had plans at that time to go down to Disney World and surprise my son. Well, he was turning 7, his 7th birthday. I wasn't able to do that. I was bound and I was in a lot of pain. And what actually had happened, and this is part of the sparing. When I was in there, they said, you know, the cramping actually isn't from your pregnancy because what you're experiencing is an ectopic pregnancy. And you're actually cramping from a cyst. And what's phenomenal and incredible about that is that the Lord spared me and my body, because usually you don't catch a ectopic pregnancy until it's too late, meaning it ruptures and you lose your chance to continue to have children, or it's a life-threatening, you know, condition. And so what I felt in that was such a loss. You know, we had all these books and things to give to the grandparents, like, you're going to be grandparents and we're so excited. And instead I got shots of chemotherapy doses that you have to take whenever you're going through an ectopic pregnancy to help protect your body. And there was a lot of pain associated with it, but God spared me because we found out about it. If I didn't have the cyst, I wouldn't have known. And then that goes into the blessing of, not to gloss over that, but my numbers and my blood work were able to get to a place where we were able to go to Disney for 2 days. And then we actually had a conference there. My husband was working for Young Life, and there was a Young Life 2020 conference. And so there were 6,000 people there to worship, and I had to continue to get blood work done down there. But while we were in the room with 6,000 people, this husband and wife came over to my husband and I and said, could we pray for you? And we were like, yeah. And they said, we just have this sense that you are walking through some sort of loss, something, a desire for children, and maybe something to do with infertility. And we would love to pray God's blessing over you. And I was like, I'm literally experiencing that right now. I'm getting ready to go get my blood work after this session. And his name was Victor, and he was from Africa. And they prayed over my body, and they prayed over our marriage, that God would continue to do new things, that he would continue to bring new life into our marriage. And we clung to that. And then Annie Downs got up and spoke, and she spoke on Psalm 126. And Danielle, Psalm 126 says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. They said among the nation, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. And one of the translations is that you'll sow with your tears, but you'll come back with armfuls of blessing, overflowing armfuls. And we stood on that when Annie F. Downs was preaching on that, and this sense of joy, and we claimed joy. And we said, Lord, like, we are mourning, but we are trusting that you will restore. And we said, we are sowing these tears, trusting that you will bring a harvest so that we can say the Lord has done great things for us. And a couple months later, we had said that we want to be able to honor you. And if we do get pregnant, and if there's a little girl, we will name her Joy. And we will trust that she will be a joy maker and reflect your joy. A few months later, when we were pregnant again and we found out we were having a girl, we have named her Willa Joy. And Danielle, this child is joy embodied. She would be your spirit animal. I mean, it is laughter and silliness and depth and beauty and an awareness of God's goodness in the way that she lives her life. And she brings us joy, but she points to joy. And so that is our story of Willa Joy. And it's like, Lord, that being bound was tough. That loss was full of heartache. And I do not gloss over that. It was a really difficult time for us. And then to be spared physically, like, have my life spared, and then to be blessed on the other side. I saw that.
First of all, Whitney, we are one and the same. I remember on an Easter service, like, I just felt like God, I didn't know I was pregnant at the time, but I just felt like God saying, like, I'm going to be with you. And I didn't know what that meant yet. And a couple weeks, we found out that we were pregnant. And eventually, like, we found out that the baby was ectopic, which I didn't know, you know? And I just remember saying, like, can you move it?
Like, yes.
You know, there's like the cramping, like it does not feel good. And you just like wonder, like, why? Like, this just is why, like, stories matter. Because you just know, like, it was for purpose. Uh-huh. Even in the pain, like, there's a reason for that. And for both of us, like, our lives are spared. And then we get to see, like, what's on the other side. Like, our son after that, such a cool kid. So grateful for him. Gosh, thank you for sharing that. Because there's a lot of women that go through that. And they're just like, why? We've all had those seasons of, like, why?
Yeah. I'm so sorry, Danielle.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just a weird season of, like, you know, your baby wasn't here. Mm-hmm. And, like, how do you grieve that?
And the baby was healthy. And that's, I think, a hard thing, too, about ectopic. It's like it was just growing in the wrong place.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I know that that isn't one of your last times that you felt bound. You know, you said that you went through a season of, like, it just kind of felt like this over and over. So out of the birth of Willa Joy, what else was up ahead for you?
What was wonderful about being able to be pregnant was that we were expanding our family. But what was really difficult is we were living in a 2-bedroom, super tiny apartment above a barbershop where we did not have an extra parking space. And I was going to need to be able to have like a car with a car seat. Yes. And we didn't have a washer and dryer. So I was like dragging my laundry down the back alley. Thanks to this wonderful man named Bob, who allowed me to do my wash in his like repair shop. There were super steep stairs on the front and the back. And it was kind of like, okay, we've got to move. Now, the tricky part of this is my husband was working in ministry and we were living in a very affluent area, like one of the most affluent in the United States, but living on a ministry salary. So we literally could not live there. And so we began praying and we were like, Lord, if you want us here, we need you to make a way. Otherwise, June 1st, if nothing happens, nothing changes, because we have crunched numbers. I mean, my husband is a strategy guy. We've had spreadsheets galore. And we just sang the song over and over, Rattle, Rattle, about dry bones, you know, coming back to life. And when God says move, you can move. And we were on a walk, a prayer walk. And I mean, our hands were strapped. We were bound. We were like so excited to bring in and expand our family, but like, we can't live here. And I heard the word favor. And I was like, Tyler, I can't even like speak this word out loud because it feels like we are like living off crumbs right now. I wasn't working. It almost evoked something of an audacious response in my husband. He was like, favor? Okay, God, show up. Show us your glory. Like, we're on the walk and he's yelling this. He's like, show off, God. Like, we need it. Show off. If you're going to favor, like, what? That's so audacious, Whitney. You know, that's what he's saying. And 2 days before the June 1st deadline, so we're at May 29th, a house came up and we did not have the money for it. We were not the highest bidder for it, but a group of people came together and helped us. Kind of like a separate fund helped us put down a down payment offer. And so they had raised money. We put our savings. For some reason, this wonderful woman gave us this house. And the house was on the corner of the way that the school districts divided the land. They divided the land, Danielle. The way they divided up the school system. So my son wouldn't have to change school again. So we felt bound. We heard favor. We get in this house and we're like, now it's time for the blessing. Like, this is it. And all of a sudden it was like, there was water issues. There was lead issues. There were some really like, we were going to have to replace all the windows. We were already replacing the bathroom and all the, it was like within the first 2 weeks, it was like right back to that place of like, I think we've all kind of been there at times where it's like, this is not what I expected, but it was like, we have a baby coming in a couple months. We've just got to kind of push through it. And there was a knock on our door and our realtor showed up and her name was Joy, which is also kind of the reason Willa's name was Willa Joy. But she showed up and she said, okay, guys, we've never had anything like this happen before, but like there is someone who has contacted us and this is his childhood home. And he missed when it was on the market and he wants to buy this house from you and move you down the street to one of the other houses that are for sale, which are much more comfortable, I guess you could say. Like, one of the houses had a gazebo in the backyard. That's where we ended up moving. And we were like, does he know we can't increase our mortgage? We're on a very fixed budget. Like, we could barely do this house. And she's like, he's aware of it. And like, he is willing to help kind of overpay so that he can get in his childhood home. Danielle.
That is nuts.
I am 8 months pregnant. We pack everything back up. We move down and we were like, this is part of the favor. God wasn't done when he moved us into that first house. But he moved us into the first house as part of the continued way to continue to spare us. So we moved into that house 1 month down and we were telling my son, we are not going to move again. This is our home. We are here. God has made this possible. Like, we are going to do some living. We are going to plant our roots. All the things we've been waiting to do. We're going to welcome your little sister and we're going to be a part of a community, you know. Because like I said, I've had a lot of moving, a lot of transition in my life. And to be able to tell my son those things and truly believe it, it was the best feeling. And that was like September. We went through that fall. We rode the high of like seeing God's faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And then that next July, so this is the summer of 2021, I was on a teeter-totter of all things.
Okay.
And what happened was I had my niece in front of me and my other niece on my lap. And my husband had one of our nieces and our daughter. And our daughter started to fall. And so Tyler jumped off the teeter-totter to grab her. I wasn't looking. And basically, I sustained an injury when the teeter-totter crashed down. Because we were in my hometown. We don't have super great teeter-totters where they have like the built-in
screen.
I just crashed to the ground. Both knees suffered bone bruises, which means it's nothing you can do to repair it. And it takes 6 to 12 months to be able to use your knees again. And I was like, this is really tough. And I started to feel very bound again. Like, Lord, we have a 7-month-old and we're getting ready to go on a vacation. Why does it feel like once things finally start feeling like I can live, I can take a breath, I can start going? And so I was in a wheelchair and we moved my daughter's crib downstairs. We had an air mattress downstairs. So that because I couldn't do stairs, and I would put her in the stroller and I would push her. And then I had two crutches and I would kind of hobble because I couldn't use one because it was both of them. And then I'd push her and then I'd crutch. And like, that was like, I will find a way. Okay, Lord, this is not the end of it. I can do this. And then I went to this doctor and he's like, I can fix this. I have this laser light surgery. Don't you worry. 2 weeks from now, you're going to be walking. I can go like into the cellular level. And I was like, this is it. He goes, you just have to take a pregnancy test. And I was like, whatever. I'm like, got an 8-month-old. Like, I'm not pregnant. Like, I've had troubles with pregnancy. I'm not pregnant, Mr. Doctor. But okay, you're not going to do this until I pee on a stick. So on Saturday morning, Danielle, I took the pregnancy test. And I was pregnant. Turns out I was already about 6.5 weeks, 7 weeks along. And I want to say that I was elated, but I was actually overwhelmed and thinking, I'm going to be pregnant in a wheelchair. How do you do that? And I have a 7-month-old. And then 5 days later, while this was going on, we had some unexpected changes to my husband's job. Yeah. And there is a story there, but he no longer was working where he was working, which means we also had to sell our home that we were just given. And within a week, I found myself covered in hives, head to toe from the stress, pregnant, in the wheelchair, knowing we're going to have to tell my precious son we're moving again. We don't know where. Knowing we wanted to like get closer to family because we did need some help. And so my husband took a job as a waiter. We got on food stamps. We lost our insurance and went on Medicaid and said, Lord, we are trusting you to provide. And we heard the phrase, I will pave a way. And we had about 2 months to pack everything up because we knew we wanted to move before the baby came. And we knew we wanted our son to be able to transition at Christmas time. So for the fourth time within about 2 years, I was saying goodbye to another home, saying goodbye to another life, saying goodbye to what I thought was, and feeling so bound and focusing on the, like, I can't get my head above the water. What is going on? And I will say that God spared us. Mm. And our pastor prayed over us as we were leaving. I pray spacious places over you. I believe that the Lord is going to use us to bring spacious places of healing. And we got a phone call on the day that we had to. Okay, so we sold our house. We ended up getting full asking price, which is just God's mercy on us. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, we bought it 9 months prior, not for that price.
Yeah.
And we were praying for a job for my husband, came down to Mahomet, just felt like this is where we wanted to be. And we prayed for community. And there were no houses available because between Thanksgiving and Christmas, no one is selling their house. But we had to find something. And long story short, there was one house. My husband and I woke up and we're like, no, I think there's this one house. And our realtor said, nope, it's sold. And we were like, are you sure it's sold? We both really feel like it's not sold. He's like, it's sold. We're like, are you sure? And he called the realtor and the other realtor said, yes, it's sold. But then he called the builder and the builder said, it's not sold. I don't know why anyone would say it's sold. So that was our house. No one knew it was on the market because everyone thought it was sold. It was being held for us. We bought it without even walking, stepping foot on it. But the day that we needed to have a job, my husband did not have a job lined up. The day that we needed the job and the bank needed the papers was the day that a man in Champaign woke up and said, I feel like the Lord has told me to do whatever I can to get Tyler Mallory for this job. So long story short, Danielle, we woke up that morning. We didn't have a job, but we needed a job. And that afternoon they said, we're going to hire you. We don't even have a real position, but we're going to bring you on because we want you on this team. Yeah. So we were able to sign the papers, get the house, and had a place to move. And the only thing I want to share about the blessing that came from that time. So God said he would pave a way. We said, God, we don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you, just like it says in 2 Chronicles 20. And we saw the Lord move as we just worshiped. But what was the biggest blessing was the thing we prayed for that we have been desiring for so long was community. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be known and we wanted a place where we could share parts of our story that were less than glamorous and like walk through some of this hard with people that we weren't going to have to leave or people that would let us into their life so that we could encourage them with some of the ways the Lord had encouraged us. Mm-hmm. So we prayed for community. And the best thing about where we live and like the reason I can say that the Lord has blessed us on the other side of the binding and the sparing is because of the community in our neighborhood. Mm. There are six women that I meet with regularly that I would consider some of my dearest friends where we can talk and we can share and we can pray. And our son just hops on his bike, rides around. There's so many kids in this neighborhood and we have found a family here.
Yeah.
We found a church here. And that kind of leads into the next part with the baton pass and how that got started here. But I do want to say that I am excited to say that there have been lots of things that were tough and lots of things that brought heartache and losses and transitions. Mm-hmm. And there was the way that I can see God spared us. He really did. And he really did bless us. And he's continuing. Yeah.
I mean, Whitney, it feels like a roller coaster. And I know that's just a part of your story. Like that is just a small part. It's just so beautiful to see God's faithfulness. But there are so many of us, so many people that I've met and even like stories that I've heard. I'm just like, how does this like keep happening? Like why this roller coaster? And I truly believe out of these roller coaster moments over and over, God is continually refining us. He is growing us. And also because we, as humans, we are forgetful, like, just like, hey, remember when I did this? We remember the favor, remember the blessing, like throughout it, like he is so good. Gosh, there's just so much there that I have, like, it's just good to hear these stories because we know, like, we can look back at our own life and be like, oh yeah, I can see it now. I didn't see it then when I was in that hospital room. I didn't see it when I was covered full of hives, but I know that there was purpose in it. I think this is beautiful, like how this has connected you into the baton pass and what is going to come out of that. And I know that your heart is for the community. So I'd love to just kind of end with how you got connected to this, that like this is the spot that I feel led to start a new chapter of the baton pass.
I think the feeling and what the person right now that I would love to speak to Mm-hmm. If there's any part, is that feeling of, I was like on the shore and, you know, the undertow took me under. And then I stood up and I like came above water and then the undertow took me under. But what was happening, which I didn't know, I was being pulled farther and farther out. Mm. And I think that there's people who have that feeling of like, I was here. Like, I mean, things were kind of tough, but like I was here. I was at least like on the shore. I wasn't like on land, but I was like on shore. And the next thing I know, because of the undercurrent and popping up and the undercurrent and popping up, not only have I had to go under so many times and like get hurt so many times, I actually feel like I'm way far behind. I feel like I'm out to sea. And what I felt like was, I don't know how to scuba dive. I kind of snorkel, you know, I can like snorkel. And I felt like my snorkel was like constantly getting full of water. So I couldn't snorkel. And the Lord was like, as I'm underwater, he's like, okay, ready, Whitney? I'm going to teach you how to scuba dive, but we're going to do it while you're scuba diving. Here's the mask. Here's the tank. Here's what you do. And I know you're not practicing, we're just doing it, but because you're going to need this, because we're going to keep getting deeper. Yeah. And I just want to offer that hope to the person who is being knocked under over and over. And other people are walking along the shore and you see them and they're going on with their lives. And you're thinking, I used to be there. I had hope. And so it feels like, well, now I'm in the middle of this ocean. I also felt like almost like a slingshot. Like I just kept getting pulled back and I kept thinking, I'm going to be released. I'm going to go forward. And we just go in farther and farther and farther back. I'm like, Lord, I'm ready for the release. And that is where I intersected the baton pass.
Yeah.
I was a mom to now two infant girls. I could walk again. We were in this new home, this new community. And I was waking up with this burden. And it was a joyful burden. Like I was excited about it, but this like weight of like, what do I do with these stories and this desire to connect with women and this desire to encourage women? Because I have been in lockdown COVID mode for 3 years. I had two babies during like quarantine COVID. So it was like very minimal interaction with the outside. I've got to say that. I didn't know. I was constantly masked, constantly at home, trying to protect these babies. Mm-hmm. But I definitely felt isolated. I was so isolated. And now I'm out in the middle of the ocean, pulled back by the slingshot, like, okay, I'm ready to do something. I'm kind of standing here. It kind of feels like I'm standing on lily pads, not like a solid foundation, but I'm ready. And there is a podcast I've been listening to called Nothing is Wasted. And they had a like a sign in, like come on for a live Zoom and you can listen to ways to take back, 5 steps to take back your story. I'm like, 5 steps, sign me up. And so I signed up on a Wednesday and a year ago, Danielle, a year ago on March 3rd, I got together with those women and I sat in my friend Rachel's living room and I was crying saying, guys, I want to share. I'm so scared. I am so scared to have a dream. I am so scared to think about moving forward. I'm so scared that once I take one step, it's going to crumble again.
Yeah.
That undertow is real. I know it is. Mm-hmm. So how audacious of me to think I could take a step and actually keep going. They prayed over me. They prayed over the time and trusted with me that the Lord would not give me this desire and not allow a way for it to kind of come out, bubble out. So I get on that Zoom call on March 9th and I listen and I show up late and I keep my screen off and I'm covered in spit up and messy bun. And I see a name, Kelly Olson, on there. Yeah. And I was like, Kelly Olson, I know her from college. And so I message her like, Kelly, I don't think you remember me, but I remember you. Can we connect at some point? I know you've got busy things going on. And she responded in time. But I realized when I typed her, she was the host. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize she was the host of this podcast. Like Kelly must have some things going on. But she made the time to connect with me, Danielle. And we caught up and she shared with me, there's this like dream and desire I have to connect women and make a space for them to encourage and empower other women by sharing their stories. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, this like resonates so much with my heart. And she said, I feel like the Lord has told me this year, I'm kind of like a trellis, you know, for people to help go on. And I was like, I am a wild vine. Kelly, I am your wild vine. I have ideas and thoughts, but I need a trellis. Like, I want to be a part of this. And so she began to invite me to learn more about this mission. And I got to see and listen. I got to meet you, Danielle, at the praise party up in Chicago. And I got to see this message that you are not alone. Hope still exists. That was the message at the praise party. I got a hold of a baton and stand up on the table and tell women, you are not alone. Hope still exists. And I was like, I am drinking this Kool-Aid. I don't want to have to drive up to Chicago to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And then the side note, the extra part of this is that there was one woman at church and I was like, I'm going to invite her. I'm going to invite her to be a part of this with me. And so I put on my baton pass sweat t-shirt that Kelly had given me and I invited her over. And I was like, can you tell me your story? Can you like share a little bit about like your heart? And she said, well, my name's Lindsay, and I kind of like from a small town, but I had a really traumatic experience at U of I. My first week on campus, it involved sexual assault, and I just went, and I was like, you're the baton pass Lindsay. And that's a whole other story, but the Lord connected me with the woman who is the person that shared her story with Kelly 20 years ago that inspired Kelly to start the baton pass. And so I felt like the Lord was affirming and encouraging me that he is in this and that there are women that he is ready to connect me to and to connect one another to. And at our first event, we had 50 women saying, hey, we want to be a part of this. We're ready to be a part of this team here. And our first event to officially launch, Danielle, is April 28th with this theme of audacious hope. And so that is kind of how audacious hope has been woven through my story and the beginnings of this chapter so that women around here in Central Illinois can hear they are not alone.
Well, Central Illinois, watch out. Like there is something that is starting there. And I'm just so excited for you, Whitney, and what is to come with all of the other team members that you have set in place. Like God's hand is on you and on this team. And I just think you're cultivating a culture, really, of women being open to just share stories, to know that they're not alone, that hope does exist, right? And I'm just so excited to celebrate with you. If you guys want to connect and if you're in Central Illinois and you want to come to this event, we'll have all the details in the show notes. There's a couple different events coming through Arizona and the Chicagoland area as well if you can't make it for that. But there's some really cool stuff happening. And thank you so much, Whitney, for the poem, for sharing your story, and just being a champion of hope, really. And I'm just grateful for you. So thank you so much for being on the Parable Podcast.
Danielle, thank you. And the final thought, I think, would be when we think about bound, spirit, and blessed, I was thinking about today, the Lord was bound for us. Jesus was bound, and he wasn't spared. And the audacity that he had to come back to life and to give us the blessing. He said, no darkness, the gates of hell, you will not prevail. He was bound, not spared, and then choose to share his blessing with us. I just think that is the hope that we are centered on here. So the refrain of that, of the bound, spared, blessed. Thank you, Lord, that you were bound, you were not spared, and then you give us your blessing of being your sons and daughters. And to live a life where you do these crazy, amazing things like you've done in my life. Lord, I'm just so grateful to you, and we just give you the glory. Mm-hmm. Oh, Danielle, thank you for your time. Thank you for inviting me into this space. I don't take this opportunity and this privilege lightly. It's been such an honor to have this time and to explore where God may be leading.
Preach, girl, preach all the time, Whitney. What about that poem, right? It was so funny and I'm just grateful for it. I hope you got inspired to write one of those for someone in your life, just so you could add a little bit of silliness to your day. I am grateful to partner with the Baton Pass for a few episodes and encourage all of us as overcomers and how we can encourage each other to share our stories so that there is hope, restoration, and radical healing. We would love to see you at Audacious Hope on April 20th. 28th in Central Illinois. I'm going to be hosting this event and it is going to be so much fun. This is a perfect opportunity for you to connect with other women if you are in the Central Illinois area. And if not, there's a couple other opportunities throughout the country that you can come and be a part of the Baton Pass event. To connect with Whitney or the Baton Pass, simply visit DanielleZapchank.com for details. And here are two reflection questions from our time with Whitney. Number one, I'd love for you to spend some time journaling what has been a bound, spared, and blessed moment for your life. Number two, what does audacious hope look like for you today? If you are looking for more information on the Baton Pass, or you want to hear more stories about some of the women that we have interviewed in the past, you can check out episodes 60, 61, 62, and all the way back to episode number 4 with Kelly Olson. We'd love for you to pass these episodes on as a friend, as an encouragement, and just to let them know that they are not alone. A huge shout out to my gifted husband, Eric, for his prowess in producing and editing. That's going to do it for today. I'm grateful that you took the time to spend it with me. Remember, your parable showcase how God is teaching you to scuba dive just as you are going along in life and to go deeper with Him. We'll see you back again next week on the Parable Podcast.